We are going to start a series on church membership. The reason for this series is because I don't think Baptists understand church membership. And I think Baptists are what we would call, or what they used to call themselves, people of the book. Baptists used to be the most biblical set of Christians to have confessions of faith. Just about all Baptist confessions of faith historically were very biblically based. And so if you were a Baptist, you were pretty solid. You were pretty grounded. But what's happened to the Baptist church is twofold when it comes to church membership. Number one, they've quit teaching and preaching the Bible. They get up and they give stories, they give self-help, they give motivational speeches, and they're no longer grounding themselves in Scripture. So Baptists are biblically ignorant. They're no longer people of the book. Number two, Baptists have been obsessed with popularity. They want to grow. And therefore, since you want to grow, you don't talk about these things like membership anymore. These things are pushed to the side. And the reason being is because if you have a biblical understanding of church membership, the size of your church will shrink. Because you'll realize that most of the people in your church roles don't meet the criteria of a member anymore. I'll give you an example. There's a church here in town. They run around 120, 130 people. They have a church role of about 1,300. 1,300. And when people ask them, well, what's the membership of your church? They say 1,300. And then they'll go, there's no way you're fitting that many people in the building. No, no, we only have 150 show up, or 120 show up. And this is because we do not understand church membership. Now, you've got that going on in the Baptist side of things. Let's look at the other denominations, the other people that we're going to encounter. They are doing away with membership completely. They are not keeping records. They are not keeping roles. If you show up a few times, you're considered a member. This happens sometimes in Baptist churches. My wife and I were looking for a new church. We attended this church three times, and a lady approached my wife and said, when are you going to start working in the nursery? I'm like, this is our third trip. Well, we kind of like to make sure this is where we're going to be before we start watching people's kids in the church, you know? But it's becoming a downplay that membership is no longer necessary, not required. We shouldn't keep track of this. All we should keep track of is attendance. Well, I want to go back and do a series on church membership. And the first thing that we're going to have to do, if you're going to do a series on it, is you've got to have proof that there should be a church membership. We've got to establish that. One of the big things I've heard from people is, well, I'm not going to be a member of any church because that's not in the Bible. I know a pastor whose church does not have a membership. And people who go to his church, I say, why do you go here? Well, I go here because they don't have a membership. They're biblical. So I call the pastor and I'm talking to him. Why don't you have a church membership? Well, it's not biblical. Well, really? Well, if these are preachers that are sound doctrinally in other areas, why are they so deficient here? So if you look at your handout, you're going to see a whole lot of Bible verses on there. We're going to establish from Scripture that there needs to be a membership for a church to function properly. And if a church does not maintain a consistent church membership, it's going to have failures in how it functions. Okay? And so you may say, well, this is boring. I don't care about church membership. That's fine. Go to some other dumping ground where they don't keep up with this stuff. See how you like it there in the land of chaos. See how you like it there in the land where you don't know who's who and what's what. This is important. This is one of the foundational principles that I brought with me when I came to Lee Creek over 12 years ago. Do you know what the first thing I did in a church business meeting at Lee Creek was? I didn't clean them. I brought them out. I opened up the church roll book. And I read every name in there. This is the first business meeting we had. I said, I want to know where these people are. Well, I don't want, what are you doing this for? Our business meeting shouldn't take 5 minutes. I said, no, I want to know where these people are. Why? Because I'm going to have to give an account for them. We have 338 members when I came here. 338. On the day that I came and they voted on their new pastor, 33 people showed up. That's less than 10% of the roll on the day when you're picking the preacher. It's not like a rainy day in February. We're going to decide who's going to pastor our church in the days ahead. 33 show up. So this was an important day. I read these names. Who's this person? Who's this person? Who's this person? Who's? I don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. I don't know. That person's dead. We found a half a dozen dead people on the church roll. Nobody ever took off. We found other people. Nobody knew. And so then I made marks by each name so I'd know what to do. And then from day one, I said, I want to have a membership roll that reflects who we are as a church. It took us about 3 years to whittle this down. Well, could we try? We reached out to these people. Hey, some of them, their address was Route 2 Van Buren. This is before we had street addresses. You remember that? When the postmaster just had to know the names of everybody out in the country? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's how bad our records were. So, this is important to me. I've taught on this. I've covered this when we talk about a biblically sound church. I've covered this when we talk about church health. I covered this when we talked about baptism. But here's one thing I've never done. I've never done a series on it. I've never just dug in and laid out and expounded church membership. So that's what I want to do. Tonight I want to establish proof of it. And so I have given us here 6 things that are going to require a church membership. 6 things that you just can't function without if you don't have some form of membership. We're going to look at the Bible. We're going to see biblical examples of this taking place. Now, you're not going to find the word membership in there, but you're going to find list. You're going to find names. You're going to find talking as if there was. John MacArthur says it this way. It is odd, foreign. It's rare, it's impossible to find someone in the New Testament who's a Christian and not a member of a church. Because everyone that was a Christian was in the church. And if you weren't acting like a Christian, you were soon put out of the church. That's the way it worked. So, let's look at authority. There is authority in a church, and in order for there to be authority, there has to be a membership. Here in Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Okay, here's my problem when I came to Lee Creek. As a pastor, who am I watching over? If you won't come to church, can I watch over you? No. This is why we remove people from the church roll if a year goes by and they refuse to attend. Because as a pastor, I can't take care of them. I can't watch over them. Sometimes people get upset and leave and they won't talk to you. You can't pastor someone who refuses to talk to you. Have you ever noticed that? It's hard to know what's going on when the conversation's going one way. So there has to be this authority. The authority is the pastor. It's not a dictator. He's not an overlord. He's not a boss. But he has the responsibility of caring for the people. So the pastor needs to know who those people are. Therefore, you have to have a membership. The membership have to know who the pastor is. I've got a friend. He attends a different church every week. Now, he's faithful. He goes to church somewhere every Sunday. And he says, you can't tell me that's wrong, Harold. I said, I can too. He said, now, I said, who's your pastor? Well, I just get the best of the best. I get a little of this guy and a little of that guy. I said, question, how are you submitting to all of those people when you're only seeing them on about a 6-week rotation? How are you doing? This is not a suggestion in Hebrews 13:17. It's a command. Obey them that have the rule over you. Who has the rule over the guy that bounces around? Have you ever known families that just bounce from church to church to church to church to church to church? And they make their way back around. We had in our church row, it was funny, we had one family. I noticed this family was a member here before I came three times. Church was 13 years old. On three different occasions, they were members here. You know what happened about 2 months after I came? Let's go back and try Lee Creek again. They got a new preacher. They came, they stayed here, they left, they went back to this church. Funny thing was, I saw the pastor of that church. He says, well, we got the so-and-sos back for the third time. I said, well, we've had them four times. Folks, that's not the way church membership works. Yes, we grant letters when you leave. Yes, we receive your letter when you come. But the idea is not that you just hop around and hop around and hop around. The idea is that you stay. Now, part of that is the preacher's problem because preachers don't stay. The other part of that is the people's problem because they don't stay. But you can't have authority unless you have some kind of membership. Otherwise, the pastor doesn't know who's under his authority, and the people don't know who the pastor is. Same thing back here in 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look with me at verses 12 and 13. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly and their love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So Paul is encouraging the church at Thessalonica to honor those that are over them in the ministry. In other words, respect your pastor. That requires some kind of a commitment of the people in order for that to take place. They have to be there. They have to be committed there. They can't just come and go as they wish. This is something that's required. If you look over in 1 Peter, you'll see Peter saying essentially the same thing. So we see Paul saying it here twice. We're going to see Peter saying it. And I want to just pick up a little bit of what Peter says here in verses 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Okay. Notice the two words, among you. Peter's talking to elders. He says in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort. I'm also an elder. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. This is a specific group of people that relate to that one pastor. Is my authority as a pastor, does it extend beyond Lee Creek? Can I catch a Christian out on the street in Van Buren and go, hey buddy, what are you doing? You ain't been to First Baptist in 9 months. I don't have any authority there. This authority only applies to these churches. And these pastors need to know who those people are, and those people need to know who that pastor is. So that's this. You can't have it any other way. Otherwise, what would make a member if there were no membership? Well, they come. They show up, okay. Then why doesn't the Bible tell us how many times they need to attend before they're members? Because it doesn't. It's a formal. We're going to see this as we go on down the list. Any questions about authority? Some of you never think about it from my perspective, do you? I got to give an account. I'm going to stand before God in heaven, and I got to give an account for what you did, not what I did. I got to give an account for me, but then I got to give an account for you. And the Lord says it needs to be good for me, because if it's not good for me, it'd be bad for you. Well, what this tells me is that I have some responsibility in your life as a person as to how you live. And if we're going to have drop in, drop out, if we're going to have 338 members like we did when I came, if I got to give an account for these people, I want to know who they are. And if they won't talk to me and they won't come back and they won't return phone calls and they won't answer letters, we've got to remove them as a church. We've got to remove these people who refuse to be sound church members. You can't have people who are obstinate like that. Any questions about authority? Let's look at assembly. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to, from these texts, I want us to see that the church is an assembly and that we are all members one of another, that we make up one body. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, let's think about church membership as a body. Do any of you have a finger that comes and goes? No. Does anybody have a foot that comes and goes? I mean, it's only part of you when it's on you. When it's not there, it's somebody else's. This is the craziest body you've ever seen. It's like this. Remember this when you were a kid, taking that thumb off? Huh? Is this how church membership works? We're all one body. I mean, he says, can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? So are we like grabbing, if people are listening to this online, what's he talking about? You know, I'm doing the trick where you take half the top half of your thumb off and fool little kids. Has anybody ever got your nose? I got your nose. What kind of a body has members that come and go? You don't. The only reason that you remove a member is if it's harming the rest of the body. If I get gangrene in my hand, we're going to have to take it off. If I get diabetes and no blood flow into my foot, it could end up poisoning my whole body. We'll have to take it off. If I get cancer on my ear, we'll have to take it off. But in a body, if that person's not harming the rest of the body, we're glad they're here and they perform a unique role. That requires a membership. That requires some kind of acknowledgement of who's who as part of the body. Now, look at chapter 14, verse 23. Chapter 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak in tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Notice the two words, the whole church. He's implying that there's a membership. Well, how do you know that? Because he says they're all in one place and there come in those that are unlearned. They don't know. They don't know what's going on. They don't know how church works. And or unbelievers. These are lost people. Obviously, lost people aren't members of the church. Other people who may not understand what's going on in the church. What we're talking about here is Paul is seeing two groups of people. He's seeing a church and he's seeing those outside the church. And he says all the church is gathered together. Well, at what point do we decide that these people are in the church or out of the church? And here's what you would say. Well, if they were saved, they were in the church. Church universal, right? The grand body of Christ at large. But how does someone in the grand body of church at large submit to the authority of one pastor? It's because you have a twofold membership. Salvation puts you into the body of Christ, but there must also be a membership into a local body, or we don't know who's in and who's out in verse 23. We don't know who the whole church is. The assembly requires there to be some form of membership to know who's in the church and who's not. Any questions about that? Is that clear or not? Have I explained it well? Galatians chapter 6. I know I'm going kind of fast, but we got a lot of Bible verses to cover. And they're pretty self-explanatory, but I want you to see, as Judge Wapner used to say, the preponderance of the evidence. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Who's that? Church. Every Christian in the universe? Okay, how are you going to do good to somebody halfway around the world? How are you going to keep up with them? This was written prior to the telephone, the internet, Facebook, Twitter. The idea here is the only way you would have opportunity, it would be those that you directly knew. It requires an assembly. You can't do this any other way. It requires an assembly in order to have this kind of knowledge. And then the old classic verse that every preacher I knew grew up preaching, Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So here he says there are people who are leaving the assembly. That's called apostasy. There are people who are apostatizing, leaving the church. Paul talks about it this way. In the last days, perilous times shall come. He says a bunch of people are going to turn away from the faith. They're going to apostatize. Well, this turning away and leaving the church implies that at one point you were part of the church. And the assembly cannot be the church universal. It has to be the church local. That's why we're required to assemble. So question, if you don't believe in a church membership, how can you be instructed to assemble with a local group of people, and how can it be wrong for some people to not assemble like they're supposed to? You have to have a membership. It's not like the song where the sign says you have to have a membership card to get inside. Some of you are not old enough to get that. Some of you are. It's not that you have to be a member to get in. It's that as a Christian, if you want to assemble and you want to take that assembly seriously and you want to submit yourself to the authority that God has placed over the assembly, you'd have to be a part of it. And for you to not be a part of it is to be disobedient to the scriptures here. So proof of church membership is seen in the Bible instructs us to be under authority, and the Bible instructs us to be in the assembly. Does everybody understand where that's coming from in scripture? Have I made that clear? Have I explained it? Let's talk about appointment. Appointment. How does someone do the work of the church outside of the church? I find it funny that all these people got these ministries. And I say, what church do you go to? Oh, I don't go to church. I just got this ministry. You ever heard of these guys? Well, here's what I've found in a study of Scripture. The Holy Spirit appoints people, and He appoints them for service in a church. Let's look at it. Let's look and see that the appointments in the church come from God, and it's God's doing, and He's sending them to work in the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away the disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, hang on, did I go too far? No. I did. Let me go back. I read the wrong verse, verse 28. Therefore take heed unto yourselves and over unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Okay, verse 28 is what I skipped. I don't know why I put 29 there. Anyways, Paul is telling these men to watch over the flock because wolves are coming, and wolves are even going to be coming from the pastors, the preachers. But notice what he says. The flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Who made these pastors over the church? God did. It's God's doing. Preachers are appointed by the Holy Spirit. They are recognized by the congregation. A lot of men may aspire to preach God's word, but unless the Holy Spirit has appointed them, the abilities of their ministry are not going to be in keeping with God's doing. If God does it, then what happened? God blesses it. That doesn't mean you're going to see prosperity. That doesn't mean you're going to see large congregations. It means that the Word of God's going to be properly taught. And people are going to hear the Word of God, and God's going to be glorified, either in His judgment or in His blessing. So here we see the appointment of preachers is by the Holy Spirit. We see it as well in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's an expanded list. Ephesians chapter 4, not 6, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and to the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, just pause there for a moment. Who gave these apostles? Who gave these pastors, teachers? Who gave these evangelists? God did. Why did He give them? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This has to be local. My role in Van Buren's not to bless people in China. That doesn't mean I can't send gifts to them and help people in China, but my primary role and my primary service and my primary appointment is what? Internet preacher at large? No. It is the ministry of a pastor here. So this appointment has to go to a membership somewhere. Because you can't have a body. I mean, even the Girl Scouts have a membership. You can't just go sell Girl Scout cookies because you like them. You got to join the group. This appointment is always by God. Now, you don't have to turn to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, but you know what's being said in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. The Lord is addressing the seven churches of Asia. And He says to the angel at the church of Smyrna, write. To the angel at the church of Ephesus, write. The church of, go down all seven of them. Thyatira, Laodicea. What is Jesus Christ saying? He's saying there's a group of people in that town. He calls them the church. Not the church universal, church local. The angel there is a bad translation. It should be translated messenger. Because angels don't preach in churches. Preachers do. Preachers were sent by God to those churches. We saw that in Acts chapter 20. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Well, who makes up the church in Ephesus or Smyrna or Thyatira or Laodicea? It has to have a defined body of believers in order for there to be a church there. We wouldn't just say the Christians at large in Van Buren. You have to have a covenant together. You have to have a covenant together because the appointment is not to a town. The appointment is to a church. Does that make sense? God didn't call me to Van Buren. He called me to Lee Creek. You see the difference? God didn't call me to Western Arkansas. He called me to this church. Does that make sense? So these appointments are given by God and they're given to individual churches. And those pastors need to know who those people are because they're accountable for the people who are under them. That's why the Lord is addressing the messenger and the messenger is responsible for addressing the people. So God gives me His word, not in my ear, not in a vision, not in a dream. He gives it to me in written form. And my responsibility is to give it to you. And then I got to give an account for how you handled that word. And then I got to give an account for how I presented that word. Any questions about the appointments that go on in churches? Let's talk about accountability. Here's where churches with no membership fall completely apart. Here's why we have problems in the Southern Baptist Convention. Here's the whole crux of the matter. Without membership, you have no accountability. Let me explain it to you this way. See this ring on my finger? I can talk about my wife. She's not here. She's not feeling good. See this ring on my finger? You know what that means? Me and Missy have been shacked up for 25 years. She's been shacking up. See, if we don't get married, there's no commitment. She can grab her clothes and I can grab mine. We can just split up and leave anytime we want. You're sitting out there laughing. You're like, no, preacher, that ring on your finger means that you got married. Well, why would I want to get married? That would entitle her to half my stuff. She could literally go before a judge and force me to crack open the gun safe and give her half of them. Mark's freaking out back there. He's like, hey, who told us to get married? Why can't we be like white-tailed deer and just go rut and chase women whenever we want to? Why is there the structure of marriage? Ordained of God. So this God of order, this God of system, this God of commitment, when it comes to His people and the worship of Him, nah, just go whore around, do whatever you want, doesn't matter. No, that's just for two people. That doesn't have nothing to do with this. Absolutely not. You have to have accountability in a church, just like you have to have accountability in a marriage. And when two people get married, they exchange vows. I've exchanged more vows than any of you. I've said them the first time, they repeated them. Well, some of you are preachers, you've done it as much as I have. But I've gone through these lines a bunch over the years. Sickness and in health, for better and worse. Ugly or good looking. You go down the list. That's the modern 21st century version. The point I'm making is this. In a marriage, there's accountability. When two people are dating and one of them's fooling around, oh, hey, we're not married. I'm not tied to you. When two people get married, that's grounds to split the house in half. In a church, in order for there to be order and respect and commitment to one another and the Lord, the accountability has to be there as well. I won't read you the five verses in Matthew 18. I've referenced them a dozen times, probably in the last year. If you got something against your brother, you go to him. Let's just pause right there. If you got something against your brother, it's your responsibility to tell him. It's not his job to figure out you've got something against him. Okay? So if you've got the problem, and he may be oblivious to it, it's your responsibility to go tell him. If you go and tell him and he don't hear you and he says, get lost, you know, you loser, I'm not listening to you, then he has the responsibility of gathering up two other men and bringing them with him so that by the mouths of two or three, every word may be established. These guys may come along, listen, blah, 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 blah. You brought two or three, and this guy tells his, turns out he's the loser, not you. These guys can arbitrate between the two of you. But what if this guy is wrong and he's mistreated you and you've brought a couple other people from church with you and they said, hey, you're mistreating him. And he says, all of you get lost. And then he shows up at church and everybody at church knows what a sorry dog he is. How do you deal with that guy? Well, the Bible says if he won't hear the two or three, you take it before the church. Can I go talk to any Christian in town and tell them about a problem somebody here did? Oh, they're in the Universal Church. Hey, you a Christian? I got something I want to tell you about somebody that goes to our church. No, you know, this is church business. So the world and those outside the church, even those in other churches, don't need to know our church business. Therefore, if you go and tell it to the church, you've got to have a membership role. You got to know who you're talking to. We had to have a little impromptu church business meeting Sunday after church about an issue with the members. You know what we did? We dismissed church. We let everybody that wasn't a member get up and trickle out. And then we came back in, and when it was just members of the church, we discussed a little issue, made it real plain, real quick, real clear, and we moved on. But that's the business for us as a church to make, not anybody that happens to be here that day. Because these are sensitive issues and we don't want to be sharing them with the world. So, accountability of Matthew 18, that's Jesus giving the instruction, by the way. If you don't like Paul, you happen to be a modern Methodist and you think Paul's a wicked, evil guy and he shouldn't be in the Bible and you only believe the words of Jesus, you can't be a red-letter Christian and not have a church membership. You can't do church discipline. You can't have accountability. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells you to remove the one from the church. Well, if you don't have a defined membership, who are you removing him from? If he's not a member of the church, how do you have grounds to remove him? I have a preacher friend who got upset with a guy who's also a Christian, but he goes to another church. He said, I'm going to discipline him. I was like, how? I mean, humor me. Tell me how this is going to work out. I'm going to get a guy from a third church and we're going to go confront this guy. I said, okay. Yeah. I said, okay. Let me just walk you through where this is going. What happens if that guy doesn't listen to you or your buddy from the third church? Well, I'm going to take it to our church. Okay. What happens if he don't listen to your church? Well, I don't know. I said, that's just it. You can't perform church discipline on somebody in another church. Why? The authority is within the context of the church local, not the church universal. If we had a universal church authority, I would be leading the charge to remove Joel Osteen. I would be gathering at the universal church conference and recommending that goofball out on the West Coast with the spiky hair, well, that's 8 or 10 of them, all of them be removed for preaching heresy. But here's the thing. My authority only extends to the 63 members of Lee Creek. That's good. That's not bad news. That's good. None of you 63 are preaching heresy that I know of. I sleep good at night. But if those guys were members of the church and they were going out in the community and saying these things, preaching all kinds of crazy heresies, we'd have to deal with them. And the authority to deal with them and the accountability to deal with them is only in the confines of a church membership. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, let's move on. Should have numbered these instead of having to count them each time. Assignment. Assignment. The church actually has the ability to assign jobs. It is God that appoints the pastor. It is the Holy Spirit that equips the flock, equips the pastor to serve the flock. But the church has a role in making this assignment. And I think we can see it three times in the book of Acts alone. We could go and read where Paul told Timothy not to neglect the gift that he had received and was recognized by the presbytery through the laying on of hands. But if you look in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, you're going to see what we commonly call the appointment of deacons. There's a dispute that breaks out. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, stop right there. If there was no church role, how'd they know they multiplied? How'd they know the numbers increased? If we did keep count, if there was no official roll book, maybe it was Easter. Maybe just everybody showed up on that Sunday to make grandma happy. Maybe people came in from out of town to go to church on Mother's Day. They know that the membership multiplied because they had a membership. When the membership, the numbers of disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. We've got a problem in the church. Are we going to go to court and get a judgment against them, or are we going to handle it within the church? Well, we handle it within the church. The 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. Now that's a twofold work. Verse 3 says it is the church's responsibility to find them. It's the elders' responsibility to approve of them. How could the elders do that without a membership? Hey, let me just throw a scenario out. Let's say we do away with a membership role, okay? And let's say down here at North Park, just half mile down the road, about 80 people get mad at the preacher, and they all come up here and start setting in at Lee Creek. And we say, we need to appoint some deacons here at Lee Creek. Y'all look out among you some men of honest rapport. Who's y'all refer to? Well, they're Christians. They're Christians. There's a member down there. We don't have a membership, so it's anything goes. Can these 80 new people that just walked in 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays, 4 Sundays in a row, go, hey, here's our chance. Let's get Bill and John and Bob and Tom and we'll put them all up here and hey, we'll push this thing through. We're going to outnumber this body already anyway. We'll vote them down. This is why you have to have membership. It protects the believers in the body. This assignment requires there to be a... Let me ask you this. Some of you is probably like, I don't really follow all this. You think anybody walks into a voting booth can cast a vote for the President of the United States? Anybody? Well, why not? What if the guy just swam across the Rio Grande, hitchhiked across Texas, and it's Tuesday election day? Why can't he walk into the Church of Christ with me down in Catcher and cast his vote for whoever? He could in California or New York. Huh? You don't have to be alive either. You're right, Mark. They could be dead. Why can't a ghost come out of the grave and cast a vote? You all understand the importance of being a citizen of the country before you cast a vote. You all understand the fact that you need to identify yourself when you cast these votes. Why wouldn't you apply that to decisions and assignments made within the household of faith? You would. You would. Otherwise, when we talk more about church membership, we'll talk about doctrine and why doctrine's important. If we didn't have a church membership and people came here and they were really Pentecostal, and we come down, we've got to make a decision on whether we speak in tongues or not. If we don't have a formal membership and there's a lot of Pentecostals here, what do they say? We speak in tongues. But by having a membership, we can have some criteria about what's expected within our local body, and this deals with assignment. All right, you look over at Acts chapter 13. We're quickly running out of time. Let me just quickly tell you what happened there. The church sent out Paul and Barnabas into the ministry. Okay? They laid hands on them. The elders laid hands on them, and they were sent out by the church at Antioch. The church made that assignment. When they got back, you know what the first thing they did? They reported back to the church at Antioch. Why? The church, the membership, had that role. This is important. When you let people lay hands on someone else, when you let people make decisions, that there be some form of requirement of them before you allow them to make votes and work in the church. Many times, churches that have real lax and loose membership policies don't allow the church to make any assignments. The church is not consulted. The expert on the stage who draws the crowd with his fancy talking and his cool band, this guy calls all the shots. You just show up and sit and are entertained. That's not a church. That's a pagan worship facility. It may say church on the sign, but that's not the way a church functions. In a church, the church has the authority. The pastor has authority to teach and expect it to be heeded, but it is the church that makes the major decisions. Also, you look in Acts chapter 15, quickly, what happened there? There was a dispute over doctrine coming out of Antioch. They were being taught in Antioch from people who came up from Jerusalem that they had to be circumcised, they want to be Christians. The church in Antioch appointed a group of men to go to Jerusalem. And they shared their message there. And the elders and the apostles and the whole church approved the message. Now, there has to be a membership to have that kind of approval, to have that kind of assignment, to assign that kind of doctrine. Otherwise, anybody could go out and cast a vote. Jews could show up. Oh, no, no, y'all got to be circumcised. This is why you have to have a church membership. This is why. Why? Because the Bible clearly demonstrates you couldn't do all these things without it. Okay, let's talk about any questions about assignment. Everybody agree you ought to be a member if you're going to make decisions? You ought to be a citizen if you're going to vote? Okay. Let's talk about accounting. The early church knew who the members of the church were. If that's the case, then they knew who was in, they knew who was visiting, they knew who was thinking about it, they knew who came from other churches. But when we look at accounting in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, It says, in those days, Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Why does it say, well, somebody says, well, it's just about 120. They don't exactly know. Well, notice the words, the number of names together. The names were written down. It wasn't the number of people, it was the number of names. These were people whose names were written down because they were officially part of the church. Well, how can you say that? I can say that because in chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 people were added to the original 120. Look at verse 41, chapter 2. And they that gladly received the word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, that's the group I just read, chapter 1, verse 15, about 3,000 souls. Now it says about 3,000 souls. It's not implying that they didn't know how many. It's just they didn't want to write out 2,987. Do you know what that would look like? Some of you couldn't figure out what Super Bowl number it was. And that's just two digits. And you're wanting these people to write out 2,898 people were baptized. And this is much easier. The emphasis here is this. They knew. How do I know that? Because they said it in chapter 1. They said it in chapter 2. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So this list was updated as people were added. Why was it updated? Because when these people left, they mailed letters with them. They recognized them as Christians. They sent them out with recognition that they were indeed part of the church there so they could join other places. You can go and see this in the end of the book of Romans where Paul says, if so-and-so come unto you, receive him as a brother. That's a letter of recommendation. It's the same thing we send out today. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9, you see Paul here saying that there is a list in the membership of widows who are eligible for support. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So there is a membership list, and there's also a list of people who they are caring for, and this list is kept and updated. So the early church was not willy-nilly. They kept record books. Lastly, when we talk about accounting, when these epistles are being written to churches, people's names are used. Greet so-and-so. Say hello to this guy. So-and-so's with me and he says hello to this guy. Why would you say that if these people weren't members of those churches there, expected to be there? There were no Lone Ranger Christians riding around. Hey, if so-and-so come by, tell him I said hi. Because they were established in where they were. Does everyone see through the authority of a pastor, the assembly of the congregation, the appointment of ministers by God, the accountability to one another, the assignment of individual tasks, and the accounting of the numbers? There's no way you could do all this and not have a membership, of official membership of who's who. It would be the most confusing thing ever to have a church business meeting without a membership. It would be impossible. Any questions about it? I'm not the best at explaining these things, but I tried to give you enough Bible verses in context covering six different topics that you're probably going to have to say, I may not fully agree with Harold, but I think he's on to something. So, why are we doing this? Here's why. It's not because I want to increase the membership. It's because I want the membership to understand what their responsibility is. And if I don't start by establishing that this is a biblical concept, you're going to get mad when I tell you what you're supposed to do. Well, I didn't sign up for that, preacher. Well, wait a minute. Last Wednesday, you were like, yeah, that's all right. Now this Wednesday, it applies to you. And so we're going to go from here, from the proof of church membership, to the prerequisites for church membership, what's required to be a member. And it's more than just believe and be baptized. That's what's required for you to be saved. You can be saved and be a horrible church member. But if you want to be a member of a new church, or you want to be a new member in a church, there's more to it than I've been saved and I've been baptized. And so we're going to cover that next week and the prerequisites for membership. Then we'll talk about the provisions of membership, the things you get by being a member. You know, membership has its privileges, just like the credit card. Then we'll talk about the protection of membership, what church membership does for the individual believer. And then we'll talk about the pattern of membership. We'll demonstrate what a biblically functioning church membership does to the world around us and how they view us. Okay?